Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I just want Senator Schumer to understand that he is the right person at this time for this moment to deliver the relief that hopefully President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Harris will bring forward with the support of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer so that we can heal this country. And he is well poised to do that job extremely well.
So Chuck Schumer is going to bring us all together. Who knew? 2021 is weird. I didn't see this coming. Katie and I were talking off the air about how shocking it is that Joe Biden is really going to be the president.
Shocking.
Tomorrow. That's going to happen. It just seems, you know, going back and looking at the primary, the Democrat primary, I recall on air, you could go check the tape and play a highlight reel of me being foolish. And like, I remember saying to you guys behind the scenes too, like, I don't want to make fun of Joe Biden because people felt sorry for this man. The way he was presenting himself on the campaign trail, the way he presented himself in some of these debates, it was too easy to take the shots at him that everybody was taking. I was like, let's just not go there. Joe Biden will fade to the background and somebody else will emerge. Cause I always want to make sure that, you know, if we're going to attack somebody, it's going to be on policy. It's not going to be on, you know, what color pantsuit you didn't like that she wore or, you know, I mean, like, gosh, I remember his teeth fell out. He had that bloodshot eye thing that I think later Mike Pence had at the mm-hmm. debate. Like, what is going on at these debates?
No idea.
But I mean, I remember being like, gosh, Joe Biden is so far past being over. He's going to be inaugurated tomorrow. Buckle up, folks. Let's talk to Mark Cox about it.
It's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
We can't stop. It's too dangerous.
I'm the best there is at what I do.
And that's the bottom line.
So Senator Gillibrand says that Chuck Schumer is well poised to bring the country together, Mark Cox. I fail to see how that's possible, but I'm pretty surprised about the moment in time we're in right now. So maybe Chuck Schumer will surprise me. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I personally just started drinking today. I'm just going to get a head start. I don't know what shape I'll be in for the show in the morning, but we'll find out. Thank you.
That's definitely one you're going to want to tune in, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., or mostly 5 a.m., because I don't know if 9 a.m. will happen.
You're right.
When you're listening to Joe Biden's, you know, constant drumbeat of unity, and then you're hearing people like Claire McCaskill say, shut up about unity, and then you're hearing all of these other pundits on cable news talking about deprogramming conservatives, I mean, it's Donald Trump is still the president today. This hasn't even begun yet. What are we in for?
Well, I don't know, but if you think about it, that individual, and it's been Donald Trump for the past 4 years, is generally considered to be the head of the party party in power. Does anyone here believe that's the case with Joe Biden?
He's the person in power on the ticket.
Right. Thank you. I mean, I do think that he's going to, having put his 47 years of experience on the table here, I think what he's going to really try to do is to get them to maybe back off the idea of holding the conviction portion of the impeachment trial so he can get some of the things done that he wants to get done. I don't think Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the hard left are going to have any of that. I think they're going to demand, whether it's constitutional or not, that the Democratic Party, with its power in the Senate, try to convict Donald Trump of impeachment, even though it's never been done before.
And it's a hugely tall order. I mean, if I think it's 17 Republicans need to go against it for it to not happen. I mean, it's a massively divisive thing to continue to do. And while Donald Trump has been the president for the last 4 years, why would they, I mean, I know the answer to this question, but why do you think that they want to continue on with this and try to get Donald Trump convicted going forward? Why not just, you know, you won, move on and get down to your agenda?
You know, Annie, a caller brought this up on the air this morning, made me consider something that I hadn't thought of before. But they clearly want to damage Donald Trump from being a candidate in 2024. If they can't prevent him from being a candidate, they want to damage him. If they damage him, they know they increase the odds of a Nikki Haley, who probably injured herself in the eyes of Trump supporters with her comments to the RNC over the weekend. Suddenly you find yourself with either Donald Trump or Donald Trump's endorsed candidate, and then somebody representing the other side of the Republican Party. I don't know if it's the Lincoln Project. But you're going to divide and conquer. If you can drive that wedge in now, you divide them and potentially conquer them in 2024.
Mark Cox, I wanted to ask you about some of the things you were talking about with Joe Biden here at the beginning of the segment. You know, with him not seeming to really be in control of the party, or at least driving the agenda, a lot of these policy ideas we're hearing, which are really, really far out there. I mean, not just the pack the court stuff, but, you know, allowing 11 to 15 million illegal immigrants to have amnesty and make them citizens and gun buyback programs. And a lot of this really radical stuff that could be achieved through normal policy making. Do you think he is actually proposing these things, or are people floating them at him and hoping he'll grab onto them?
Well, it's been part of their platform, Ryan. I mean, they hid that in plain sight. We knew what they were going to push for. We were talking about it through the entire election. I'm with you. I mean, they're radical enough. They're far enough removed from the mainstream in this country that you have to wonder if they must just not care about political fallout after being out of power for 4 years. They're feeling tremendous pressure from AOC and probably Kamala Harris, who was the most liberal member of the Senate, to get these things done, because for all they know, they lose the House and maybe the Senate in 2 years. I just think they feel a sense of urgency, and they're going to get done whatever they can pull off.
I remember when Trump got elected, which was a shock to me that happened. We were watching that late into the night in 2016, and it was crazy and kind of stunning to see that whole process unfold. And I remember the moment that I realized, like, to myself, because I've always had strong conservative beliefs, and I've come into them on my own, and I stand by them. But I remember the moment I thought, gosh, I really hope that Trump doesn't blow this for Republicans, because I didn't know what kind of president he was going to be. I didn't know if he was going to espouse conservative principles. I just knew that Hillary Clinton sure as heck wasn't. But there is a moment in time after he got elected where I realized, gosh, it's our time to put up. We've been talking about how we can fix things. We've been talking about why our plan is better. Now it's time to step up to the plate and make our case, because we have the authority to do that. Throughout the course of government, the Democrats have that right now. And for the last 4 years, it's just, you know, wah, wah, Trump, Trump all the time. That's all that they've talked about, is that Trump is, you know, the worst person to walk the face of the planet. And very rarely was policy even discussed. Now they're going to come to the table with the ability to fix anything they think needs fixing, because they have the power in the House, the Senate, and in the Oval Office. Do you think that they're going to bite off more than they can chew here? And do you think that the people who voted potentially against Trump are going to quickly regret that they at least voted for whatever it is we're about to get with this Biden administration?
I hope so, Annie. I do think they will overreach. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, you said it a minute ago that you, back during the primary, you kind of felt bad for Joe Biden. And yet you had probably the most diverse group of candidates any party's ever put forward, potentially, in the Democratic primary. The Democratic voters, only 2% wanted Kamala Harris. Less than 2% wanted Kristen Gillibrand. And they ended up with a guy who's a wallflower, who people question his ability to get the job done. I've said all along, he's a Trojan horse. They're riding him into the White House because they knew nobody would ever vote for Kamala Harris for president. They had to get him to get into the White House. They will now take over. They'll push it as hard as they can because they don't know how long they have. I believe you're absolutely right. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
When it comes to the Senate, I mean, the Democrats have the deciding vote with Kamala Harris as the vice president being the tiebreaker. But that still means they got to get 50 Democrats to vote for things. I know that when the Republicans had 52 Republican senators, it didn't always feel like you had it in the bag, that 52 Republicans right. were going to go along with anything. Do you feel like there's going to be are the Democrats going to be in lockstep, or do you feel like there might be some conflict there?
I think it'll depend on how far they go. I really do. I mean, the Democrats have to get two independents who caucus with them, which is Bernie Sanders and Angus King, I think, to go along with them, plus Joe Manchin, who tends to be the most conservative Democrat in the Senate. And the Republicans have 47 Republicans, and then they have Romney and Collins and Murkowski, who they also have to try to get to caucus with them. So it's going to be an interesting those moderates in each party are going to have an extreme amount of leverage. It'll be interesting to see who's able to garner and whip the votes.
What's
My suspicion is Chuck Schumer probably is going to be better at that than Mitt Romney. I mean, than Mitch McConnell.
Kind of a nuts and bolts question here for you, Mark, but with the House also being relatively close as far as red versus blue, is there going to be any possibility of pushback there, you think, of pulling a few people over and stopping an agenda from moving through there?
I don't know. I mean, I think I saw Nancy Pelosi's daughter say one time, "I've got the bite there at the station. My mom can cut your head off at the neck and you'll never even notice you're bleeding."
Yeah.
I really don't think she's going to have any trouble getting every vote she needs every time. I'd be surprised. Maybe the squad will have a little bit more leverage than they would have otherwise. But for the most part, they're going to be pushing for every hard left policy that's ever been created.
Pace yourself on the drinking, Mark. Just pace yourself.
But gotta start early.
We'll be tuning in tomorrow at 5 a.m. to hear how it's going. And we'll tell Steve at our meeting after the show today not to tune in.
Yeah, my voice is already a little having a hard time speaking today already. I don't know what's going to happen by tomorrow morning. We'll see.
Well, there's a sweet spot where it helps you speak, and then the sweet spot goes away, and then it gets really, really, really dangerous.
Then it's an enunciation problem after that.
Yeah,
it's almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mark, thank you for coming on with us. We'll make it through. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
And we'll be listening. All right. Bye-bye. Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Tomorrow proposes to be a very good one, so I would tune in and listen to how that one goes.
Oh, boy.
I do know, all joking aside, that this is not the easiest time. It's not the easiest for me. I've got a lot of things going on in my life, and I know that you do, too. Like, this is not something that the political realm right now, when you look at it, or if you get another, every time I get a Fox News alert, I'm like, oh crap, now what? It's kind of an onslaught of news that I don't really want to hear. I'm still going to listen to it. It's my job to be in tune with what's going on, but I definitely am keeping it in my mind right now that this is tough. And if you've got anything else going on in your life, like say, I don't know, a pandemic, or job loss, or a loved one that potentially is sick, or a pregnancy that's not easy to go through. You've got things going on in your life that make this difficult to consume more than it usually would be. And we're going to be sensitive to that on this show. And I'd kind of like to talk to you about that. Reach out to us, 314-241-9797. And, you know, tell me how you feel about this going forward. What are you looking for when you tune in noon to three? What are you looking for? What are you not looking for? Because I don't think I can spend the next 4 years talking about, remember the time that Trump, blah, 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 or telling you the latest thing that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did. Because, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're going to make it through. We'll make it through together, and we will laugh along the way. And if you listen to the Mark Cox Show, cheers. All right, we'll be back in just a minute with your phone calls. Don't go away.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Andy Price Show. Thanks for spending some Tuesday with us. The last Tuesday of the Donald Trump presidency is upon us. We are, what time does the inauguration start? I think it's 11 a.m. tomorrow is when everything goes down. So
yes.
You can tune in to 97.1 to hear that. Yesterday we were speaking with Dr. Hardiman. I just saw Don on our YouTube asking us if we were still going to have Dr. Hardiman on Mondays. We did, and we did yesterday, and you missed it. But you can listen to the podcast and hear it. It was a really good couple segments that we did with him. And somebody asked a question about the COVID test causing the swab thing, which he referred to as a brain tickle, which sounds terrible, causing a migraine. And I said on the air that I worry that when I even say the word migraine out loud, that I will therefore then get a migraine. And I have had the worst headache since about yesterday at about 5 or 5:30. Still now, I was feeling a little bit lightheaded before. I said to Katie off the air, I said, I'm feeling a little bit like hot and cold at the same time, a little lightheaded. I'm going to go find something to eat real quick. And I went and ate my daughter's cosmic brownie that she got from Sunday school. 4-year-old daughter.
For shame.
I am ashamed of myself. It was delicious. What's better than a cosmic brownie? I can make really good cosmic brownies.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm pretty sure that I actually texted my husband and I was like, so I ate Evelyn's cosmic brownie, feeling lightheaded. Can you replace that for me? So
please.
So my husband's going to have to go to a gas station on the way home. And I hope that if it doesn't look exact, because if you buy them, I think if you buy them individually, they might look a little bit different than it might be bigger, honestly.
Yeah.
So maybe she'll upgrade. The cosmic brownie story is kind of funny because each kid got one and the two bigger ones ate them. And I was joking. I said it once to my son and I said it again to my middle daughter. And I said, well, I was waiting for my favorite child to share their cosmic brownie with me. And I didn't know that Evelyn had one, that my youngest had one. And both of my kids, when I said that, they felt bad because they're like, well, I guess I'm not your favorite child. My 4-year-old goes, no worries, mommy. No worries, mommy. And she runs into the kitchen and picks up the cosmic brownie to share it with me. And I was like, well, you're my favorite kid for these 5 minutes.
So cute.
So she told me that she would share with me her Sunday school cosmic brownie, and then I just ate it. I didn't share it with her.
She did share it.
That's not sharing. I stole it.
You just took it.
What makes a brownie cosmic? Other than the
Little
brand
Debbie?
Of Little Debbie.
Yeah, Little
is
Debbie.
Is that it? Because I thought you said you made great cosmic brownies, and I was like, well, what's a cosmic brownie then?
The likeness
it's
of
a
the
Little
cosmic
Debbie. It's,
yeah.
Like it's like a saying a ding-dong or a Twinkie.
Fudge
but
round.
Okay, so you can't technically make a cosmic brownie then, because you would just be making brownies.
I mean, I don't really know how to have this conversation. Katie?
I don't know either. And I was going to say that my parents, my mom and dad, were the king and queen of hooking me up with the best treats in my snack, like in my lunch boxes. We always brought our lunches every single day. And I'm telling you now, if I didn't get a Cosmic Brownie or a Fudge Round or a Ding Dong or something if I came home and I was like, saw my parents eating one of those things that were supposed to be for me, Annie. It was
they did buy them. It's not God gave it to you at Sunday school and then they stole it.
Of course.
I just did to my 4-year-old child, who I will have to go replace that. I'm going to go scour the gas stations. I don't ever go anywhere or do anything, and I'm going to have to go on a Cosmic, unless my husband replies back to me.
You got to.
I am going to have to, because I feel really bad. And, you know, it's 50-50 that if I told her that I wasn't feeling good, I ate it, she'd be like, oh, that's okay, mommy. And she'd be like the sweetest about it. Or she might cry. And I don't want to risk. I just don't want to risk the crying thing.
If she gets a bigger brownie that's in like the official wrapping, you could always tell her, look, God never closes a door without opening a window, honey.
I'm probably not going to tie it to her faith.
Okay. That's entirely up to you as a parent.
It is.
But that's
I'll consult with Donald Trump first, since he's, you know, got spare time and everybody wants to know if I want to raise my children.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I was talking yesterday. I said on the air that you get this, if you're a migraine sufferer, people have triggers. Chocolate is probably a trigger for a lot of people. It hasn't been one of mine. Mine is sleep or hormones, and I'm pregnant, so shocker. Or if my eating habits are off, like if I go a long time without eating, or if I were to eat a particularly like gross kind of meal, and being dehydrated. And then the thing that tips it off is stress. If I endure a lot of stress and I have any of those other things swirling around, I'll get it. So I don't know if that's what it was yesterday, but I have had this headache pretty much since about 5:30 last night. And since, I have had the most fatigue ever with this pregnancy. I will like sit up and be awake, and all I'm doing is waiting for maybe 8 o'clock to come around so I can go to bed. Because I did this last night. I went to bed, literally was in bed at 6 o'clock, and then I woke up at about 9:30 or 10, and then I'm awake for an hour or two or three, and it's hard for me to get back to sleep. I don't really know what to do about it. And you know, everything is so off. And then you add in all this other crazy stuff that's going on in the world. I get on Twitter, and it's just like, oh, how do I manage? It seems spirally.
You take a cosmic brownie. You eat the cosmic brownie.
You find a child and you steal their treat. Vicky Long has shared a taste of home cosmic brownie recipe. I've got one, and it involves boxed brownie mix, so it is pretty delicious. The key is to undercook them and let them finish cooking on the stove, just like when you take it out of the oven and you just let it sit there, and then you melt chocolate frosting, and then you just get the right sprinkles.
Oh my gosh. I want
a brownie. It's a cosmic brownie. That's why it's amazing.
I don't want to rag on my wife's brownies, but she's making them with lots of really healthy ingredients to try to make healthy brownies, and it's like, honey, what's the point? If you're going to make a brownie, just make a brownie.
Do you eat them?
I try.
Do you eat them?
The appearance of support.
If you eat them, that's why she makes them.
I do nibble on them, but they're not really for me. So I feel like obligated to eat a little bit, but not much.
Kev on Facebook says, is it okay to take ibuprofen when pregnant? That cures my headache every time. It is not. That is the other thing. I am extremely limited to what I can do. Medicate anything. You can take Tylenol, but anytime you don't ever want to overdo the Tylenol, like ever. It's not good for your tummy. So it's just, I don't know. I highly recommend going to chiropractor. I see Dr. Berg at Troy Pain Relief and he's amazing. And Tanya is a masseuse there and she is amazing. And she does prenatal massage. So I do that, but that's like once a week. And then in between, there's It's just a matter of staying up until I feel like it's a respectable time to go to bed.
There's this weird time period that's happening, especially because it gets dark so early that 5 o'clock rolls around. And I've actually been doing this too, Annie, and so is my husband. 5 o'clock rolls around and you think it's like 8 or 9 because it's so dark and you just take a random nap. Mm. It's like 5 p.m. hits and I'm like, oh my God, I can't even stand up. And then you nap from like 5 to 6, which is totally horrible. And then you wake up and you're like, wow, I won't be going to bed until midnight or 1 a.m. today.
What's your caffeine consumption?
It's gone down substantially. Usually, oh God.
Maybe drink some at about 4:30.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, I
4:30 is too late to be drinking caffeine if you're not a caffeine consumer.
Yeah, I usually only drink like 3 or 4 cups of coffee in the morning, and that carries me.
3 or 4 cups
wow.
of coffee?
Only?
Yeah.
That's a ton of coffee.
That happens during the week. On the weekends, your girl's getting crazy. I'm drinking a pot. I'm like, pour it up. Of Folgers. Of coffee. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, of coffee. And that's how I start off my day, though. I wake up and I drink an entire pot of coffee on like Saturday and Sunday. It's
wow,
the best.
I definitely have pushed coffee out as well, which is part of my problem, I think, is that I don't have much caffeine. I'll drink soda during the show. When you see me drinking a caffeinated soda on the show, that's because I'm about to fall over. That's because I need that, like, because soda caffeine is just the kind that, like, seems to get into your veins and have an immediate reaction, and then the crash comes afterwards. But I've been trying really hard not to do that excessively either. I mean, there's nothing really valuable in soda at all. So it's only a caffeine fix. And generally speaking, if I'm trying to eat healthy for this baby, like say Cosmic Brownies, then I want to hold off on the soda.
Totally.
And the sodium and everything that goes with it. Obviously.
We know that women are better at handling pain in general. So I ask you this honestly. When you feel nauseous, do you just hate everything? Because I find if I feel nauseous or if I'm in pain in some way, I could lay in bed and try to stream a show, but I just am like, no, I hate this show. I don't care what it is. I hate everything and I want everything to go away, but I can't imagine you being
that way. This is why women have babies.
Yeah, exactly.
I was nauseous once laying in bed watching a show that I hated. you can't explain feeling nauseous 24 hours a day. I mean, realistically, I might have 4 or 5 hours in the middle of the day where I'm okay. I don't feel good, but I don't feel terrible. But I mean, it's really bad at night, and it's in the morning. Like, I have to get up and have a protein shake at about 6:45, and then I eat breakfast at about 10 or something like that. There's really no comparison to what it's like to suffer from nausea all the time. You can't, I mean, it is depressing, but especially even Dr. Tobler said this, the sick mommy means healthy baby, which is there is truth to that, because it's the hormones that your body is producing that are making you sick. I'm just super sensitive to them, but good grief. I can't compare it. Me being sick, if I have 149 days left of this. It's a lot. So me being sick for that long, it's impossible to compare it, you know, not just to you feeling nauseous, Ryan, but to me feeling, if you feel nauseous because you got the stomach flu and it comes out of nowhere and you weren't expecting it, that's terrible. That's a really, really awful feeling, because you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know how sick you're going to be, how long you're going to be sick. I mean, that's a different kind of terrible. This is more of a, like, you know, just put your boots on and soldier through, because that's what you got to do. Yeah. And it's not like this, you know, that's the other thing. I don't think my sister really dealt with this with her 3 pregnancies. Certainly not like I did. My sister-in-law, you know, I would think that my sister and I would have more similar pregnancies than my sisters-in-law, but they didn't really have this. I don't really know anybody who has had this consistent. You know, everyone always wants to be so kind, and they're like, it'll let up in the second trimester. And I'm like, no, it won't.
No,
I know it won't.
It's yeah. not letting
yeah. up. honestly, I've talked about this before too. I did experience a miscarriage before my third child. I was about 8 weeks pregnant when we miscarried the baby. And with this child, I mean, my husband and I were planning to have this child, and I probably took 8 days of pregnancy tests before it became positive, because we knew we were, expecting to be expecting. And I was 4 weeks pregnant when I started feeling sick. So, I mean, it was immediate that you would feel the effects of being pregnant. With my miscarriage, I never felt sick one day. And, you know, when I went to the doctor and went through the process of, you know, identifying that it was a miscarriage and everything, he told me, this blew my mind, I did not know this, but that like 1 in 3 women experience this. And he said, I hate to be, you know, this simple about it, but he said, this is basically a routine miscarriage. And it just basically was probably a fetus that never would have stood a chance at life. It probably didn't form correctly. It might, you know, what it was is something that many women experience. And as traumatic as it was for my husband and I, it was strangely comforting to know that this is something that we weren't alone in. And women don't really speak about it. And it's not something that is commonly talked about. And I think in that capacity, I think it is important to you know, suggest that it exists. So I do know that in that experience, when I did start to feel sick, I thought, okay, this is going to be different than the one that we lost. But it's tough stuff. It's important, though. And it's, you know, the days are long, but the years are so short. I see a picture. I see all your pictures, all my friends and family who have kids who are going off to college or graduating grade school and moving on up. And it's just, everybody says the same thing. How did this happen? How did this happen so quickly? And I keep that in mind when I'm thinking about it. Like I said, the days are long, the years are short, and 149 long more days until we get to start celebrating this baby. All right, we'll be right back with more Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Gosh, you guys want to talk more about how people on the left want to deprogram us?
I don't know.
I have a whole list of people here who are talking about deprogramming the brainwashed Trump voters. And it's just, you know, I know we spent that last segment not talking about politics, but oh my gosh, I can't do it. It's so infuriating. It's so degrading and condescending. And the worst part about it is that it all exists in an echo chamber. Mm-hmm. I have this struggle every single day with what I choose to bring to you on this show, because so much of this, I mean, I know that you're listening to Mark and you're listening to Brian Kilmeade and you're probably watching Tucker and Sean and whatever, but a lot of this stuff you would never know happened if I don't play it for you or if Mark and Brian don't play it for you. Like, is ignorance blissful in that context? Because at this point in time, it kind of feels like it.
I'm getting tired of all the talk. I want to get on with the deprogramming. Like, we're talking about a lot of deprogramming. I want to get deprogrammed. Like, if I'm the problem with the nation, then let's get to it, people. Put me in a camp like in Logan's Run. Make it the future. And let's do this.
What's Logan's Run? Do you know what Logan's Run is, Katie?
I have no idea. But I'm sure someone does. Yes. I'm sure someone does.
Sounds terrifying. Yeah, this is where all the smart people in the chat are always like, Logan's Run, Annie, come on, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. Is Logan's Run a movie?
It was a movie and a TV show.
Who?
All in the 70s, and it was all very dystopian future.
Huh. Oh, gosh. Don't let that happen, then. Let's not get to that. Let's stay far away from that.
I mean, do you really want to hear every day what the left is saying about you again? Like, once you become an adult, if people are talking smack on you and you don't like them, don't you just be like, peace out? Like, I don't need you in my life. I don't need to do this to myself. When you become an autonomous individual and you've grown out of having to please everybody around you or explain yourself to everybody around you, it feels really witchy of me to come on here and be like, well, this is what she said about you and this is what he said about you and he says that you're brainwashed and you need to be like, I don't know that that's really helpful at the end of the day. So I hesitate to come and shove that down your throat, because if I were you, I'd turn the station off. It becomes exhausting. It's like a ping pong game. It just goes back and forth and back, yes, and forth and back and forth. I could play something of somebody saying that you need to be deprogrammed, and I could play something that says that the Democrats are out of touch, and then I could play somebody else who says that you're brainwashed. And, like, we know.
And, you know, it's such a testament, too, about how media works. You hear one key phrase or you hear one catchphrase that starts on Sunday, and by Wednesday, it is like the number one phrase that is just being shoved and shoved, almost like they're trying to brainwash you into believing something so much because you're just hearing it over and over and over again.
Do you remember last week when I said that the phrase big lie was going to be,
yes,
the new thing that throwing out, that you've been duped into believing this big lie?
It is so shocking. Not only are they not conceding, Bill, but there's thoughts that there might have been some collusion among members of Congress. Some are refusing to go through magnometers or whatever you call them to check for weapons. They're not wearing masks during the siege. I mean, it's really bizarre, isn't it, when you think about how AWOL so many of these members of Congress have gotten. But I also think some of them are believing the garbage that they are being fed 24/7 on the internet by their constituents, and they bought into this big lie. And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
So here's somebody, Kev on Facebook just said that Katie Couric hardly speaks for everybody. He said that before I played that. If you're wondering if Katie Couric is the only person who is
if you voted
this
for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported.
You voted for the person who Nazis support.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right, that Osama bin Laden didn't do?
No external terrorists ever did this to us. We've never worried like this, even after 9/11.
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
I wonder if you have thought through kind of how Republicans begin what someone on my team earlier today called debathification.
Look, I think the challenge is that the rot is from the grassroots all the way to the presidency. So the rot is at every layer.
There are millions of Americans, almost all white, almost all Republicans, who somehow need to be deprogrammed.
They can't even open their mouths about unity. Shut up about unity.
The way that we in the media speak about this is so important.
Twitter and Facebook aren't banning you because you're a conservative. They're banning you because you suck.
I covered wars abroad. I've seen ugly things that this country now resembles, but I've never seen this country more in doubt about safety at home than right now. And the enemy is us.
So the safety at home thing is secured quickly by the Second Amendment. Stay away from that one, folks. But if you're thinking that this is just one person who is out there suggesting that if you were a Trump supporter, there's no distinction being made. Let me correct myself. Bill Maher did say this, and I've heard this played in a couple of places, and Bill Maher, he gets it right every once in a while from a different perspective, a place that I can respect where he's coming from. I just disagree with, generally speaking, the policies that he stands behind. But he said, don't confuse the 74 million Trump supporters with the 5,000 people who were there at the Capitol building. And he used that as a way to analogize the people who are Islam with the people who in the past have been lumped into some category of all of Islamists being a threat or danger. And he's saying, you know, it's a dangerous thing to do to lump the small in with the many and paint everybody with that broad brush. He's right in that. But the distinction isn't being made. That's the point. The point is to remove any distinction. The point is to make sure that if you have ever had a Trump sign in your yard, a MAGA hat in your, you know, closet, or if you've ever supported a Republican or President Trump with a dollar of your hard-earned money, you need to know that you've got a big problem. Your cultish ways aren't not for long in this country anymore. And we're going to do something about it. There are a lot of people saying this right now. And there are not a lot of people on the left who are standing up against it. Of course, if you're on the right, like I have Matt Gaetz here talking about how they're going to be like, of course, he's saying it. He wants to win re-election in Florida, obviously. It's not going to help unless people who are somewhere in the middle, who are somewhat moderate on either side, go, well, wait a second here. And the constant, like, you know, I started this segment by saying, I don't know that playing this for you is wise on my part, because I don't want to make you turn the station off. Is it important that you know that it's happening? I suppose. But this is the direction we're heading right now. That the left, in the wake of the Capitol Hill building, we had Jason Chaffetz on the show yesterday. He's got a book out, They Never Let a Good Crisis Go to Waste. And he talks about how anytime something like terrible, like what happened on January 6th at the Capitol building happens, they just lose their mind drunk on power and authority to do something about it. And we are seeing that right now. And there are no bumpers on this lane. They are wide open to do what they feel that they want to do. This is the wild, wild west. And how is it going to stop? Man, I don't know. So we'll do our best here to cover it, but I'm not going to beat you over the head with it, because I want to hang out with you. I want you to stick around with us, right? We're going to talk to Steve Bucci when we come back. He's the visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk to him about that migrant caravan coming across the southern border. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.